Take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 21. Well, we're gonna do something different. It's not really a holiday message today, but it is a message that needed to be dealt with. We've been talking about and we're paying attention to some geography in our Sunday school lessons, and the question came up about whether it's proper to call this land Palestine. We like to, especially this time of year, they call it the Holy Land. And it's the Holy Land for Muslims, it's the Holy Land for Christians, it's the Holy Land for Jews, because everything centers around Jerusalem. And there is attention to that, a biblical reason why there's attention to that land, both by enemies of Israel and Christians, in the sense that, Christ was born in Bethlehem, he's going to return, sit on the throne of David, and establish a throne of David in Jerusalem, and reign over this whole earth. Howdy. Christopher's in town. It's referred to as the Holy Land, but that's not necessarily a good term. It really won't be the Holy Land till the Holy One returns, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it'll be a holy land, because that's what his intent for that land is. So there's a lot of discrepancy and a lot of talk over whether should we just cooperate and call the land of Palestine or not. And there is a, well, by the time I'm done, maybe you'll have comments on it one way or another. It's not really a biblical issue today, but it is an issue. And so I did a little research, and actually an article was sent to Dad, and that started me out on the path, because the term Palestine is actually being used to by those who are in the land who do not want to recognize the nation of Israel. And because they do not want to recognize the nation of Israel, they refuse to call the land Israel or the land of Israel. So everyone just kind of universally just calls it Palestine, but that's really cooperating with those who are against Israel and actually against Israel's very existence. And there is a people who are on the West Bank over here that we call them Palestinians, and they're fighting for some national recognition. And they just got some headway in the United Nations, where the United Nations are now recognizing the Palestinians as a people, but not recognizing a land for the Palestinians. So there's a lot of battle over, the land, but they're calling it, even if they don't give them a land, they call the people Palestinians, and there is not a land of Palestine, except that they're calling all that land Palestine, and that's really an anti-Israel implication. The Palestinians, they actually formed a political group, and what do they call them? Palestinian Authority, the PA. And so they're the ones pushing to actually have a territory in that land that's actually designated Palestine, but there isn't such a thing. So that gets us to the question, should we be cooperating with that? And if we are cooperating with that, are we really kind of siding with the anti-Israel group? Well, like I say, it's not really a biblical issue for us, but it is something that we probably should stop and consider. But going back to the Bible, let's start there. And I have you in chapter 21 of the book of Genesis, because we've been looking at these verses, and this is what really brought up the question. It says in chapter Genesis 21 in verse 32, Abraham, he's in the land. The land has been promised to him. We'll read those verses in just a second. But when he's in the land, he's having trouble because he digs wells, and the people in that land, they claim the well is theirs. So he finally makes an agreement with Abimelech and his captain. And it says in verse 32, it says, thus made they a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Pascal, his chief captain of his host, and they return unto the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Palestinians' land many days. Palestinians. I'm going to do this back and forth. Even when I write it, it does that to my head. The Philistines' land many days. Correct me when I do that. So the land is called the land of the Philistines, and that is, by the way, where the name Palestine comes from. It's actually it comes from the word Philistina, which means the way of the Philistines, and it's been Latinized, and then we find it in modern day as Palestine. So it does trace back to the Philistines. Now the Philistines were people who were on the West Bank over here. In fact, they were in the southern, like we're talking about Abraham in, I am pointing to the map, aren't I? In Beersheba. And when he's in Beersheba, it's calling it the land of the Philistines. So this southern western area of the land that was promised to Abraham is where the Philistines dwelt, and so there is biblical term for Palestine. Now, before I leave Genesis and look at the word Palestine, go back to Genesis chapter 12, because if we're going to use biblical language, when Abraham first entered into this land, he's up in the midsection of the land at this point. And it says in verse 5, and Abram and Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his son, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and all the souls that they had gotten in Haran, that he took all that. And then it says, and they went forth into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So the land, before, when Abraham arrived, it's called the land of Canaan. That's the biblical term for the land that was promised Abraham. But God, in this chapter, he promised this land to Abraham as an everlasting possession. Come over to chapter 17. And verse 8 it says, and I will give thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and will be their God. So when it calls it all the land that's given, it is divided, does have different names, but in the general term of this land, as Abraham came into it, it's the land of Canaan. When he built that altar and called on the name of the everlasting God, the whole point of that is that Abraham realized in his lifetime, it's never going to be called his land. He's going to inherit it as an everlasting possession, that's the promise, but it's not going to come in his lifetime, it's going to come in his resurrection when Jesus Christ comes back, establishes his throne, raises the Old Testament saints from the dead, then they're going to inherit the land, and then it'll become Abraham's possession. So that's why he's calling on the everlasting God, because it's not going to happen in this life, it's going to happen in eternity future. And it will be eternal once they're resurrected in that land. So they're going to live in that land forever. But when Abraham, in the Old Testament times, it is called the land of Canaan. But there are terms that refers to that land as Palestine. I want to show you a couple of those. Exodus chapter 15. And even these verses that show this, it's interesting. Well, they're all interesting in the sense that it doesn't. The land primarily, in its totality, is called Canaan. There is this section of the land where the Philistines were that does have that we do get the name Palestine from. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 13. Now, this is actually the Song of Moses. They just exited Egypt. And they're on their way to what's called, the Bible calls, actually Hebrews, 11:7, calls it the land of promise. Because it's been promised, it's not theirs yet, even in the book of Hebrews, which is New Testament. But verse, after they left Egypt and they're going to that land, it says, thou, in verse 13, thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength into thy holy habitation. That's the place that God will inhabit himself. That's when it'll be the Holy Land. It says, the people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow should take hold on the inhabitants of Palestinia, the dukes of Eden and so forth. So as he's talking about leaving Egypt and going to that, he does refer to that land of Palestinia. So it does show up in the Bible. It's the land where the Philistines were, the land that they're going to have battle with when they get there. In fact, well, let's see, we might have time. Come over to Joel chapter 3. Joel, the book of Joel chapter 3. There's only a few times, by the way, that Palestine, I'm not sure if it's only these three. I should have double-checked that. This might be the only three times it shows up in the Bible. Toward the end of the Old Testament, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Joel chapter 3. And notice the context of Joel 3. This is why it's interesting. Otherwise, we wouldn't even have looked at this passage. But Joel chapter 3, you might be familiar with the end of chapter 2. That's what Peter quotes beginning on the day of Pentecost. But when you get to Joel chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem." Now, they're going to go into captivity, and then God's already promising before they go into captivity that he's going to regather them. The ultimate fulfillment of God regathering Israel is when Jesus Christ comes back to the land in the second coming. So there's a sense when Joel 3, you're looking at the second coming of Christ. It says in verse 2, "I will gather all nations and will bring them down unto the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land." So the Gentile, now we actually jumped across where Israel inherited the land under Joshua, but then under the time of the kings are going to be kicked off the land and God's going to regather them because they're going to be scattered and Israel's going to lose their land. Verse 3 says, And they have cast lots for my people and have gotten a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine?" They're directly as Palestine. "Ye will render me recompense, will ye render me recompense? And if ye recompense me, swiftly and speedily will I return your recompense on your head," on your own head. So, but he called, notice he said the coast of Palestine. See, it's that area over there. That's interesting to me because that's future. He's saying it in Joel, it's going to happen in biblical times, but if this is the second coming, he's calling the land Palestine at the second coming of Christ. I found that pretty interesting. But here's another interesting verse. Come over to Isaiah chapter 14, yeah. Well, I might have skipped this one. But it is interesting that in chapter 14, this is where Satan is cursed and prophesied that he's going to be cast in the bottomless pit, which takes place at the second coming of Christ. But then the context changes, and it says in verse 28, "In the year that King Uzziah died, was this burden. Rejoice not, O whole Palestinia, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken, for out of the serpent's root shall come forth the cockadence, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent." I was looking at this. I don't quite understand. I didn't try to understand the prophecy because I was only looking at the statements about Palestinia here. Verse 31, it says, "How ye gates, O city, thou whole Palestinia, art dissolved, for there shall come from the north a smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed time." And so it's proclaiming a judgment on that land. Again, it seems like a second coming passage. So there is this. There is statements. My point was to show you there are statements in the Bible that call that area Palestine. But for the most part, like the land is, and here's one. Come over to 1 Samuel chapter 13. stop and think which way Samuel is. And anyhow, what we've done here is we're jumping back and forth across the time in which Moses led Israel out of Egypt. They're going to go to the land. In our studies, and normally in Sunday school, where we're at right now is Joshua bringing Israel into that land and them dividing that land as an inheritance. When they do that in the book of Joshua, the land from that time is going to be called, like for instance, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, the land of Judah, because they're going to divide the land into the 12 tribes as an inheritance to the 12 tribes, and the land will then take on the name of that tribe. So it's the land of, and then you just fill in the tribal name. So that's what happens under Joshua. When you come to Samuel here, these are the wars that Saul is having, 1 Samuel chapter 13, that Saul is having with the Philistines, interestingly. This is interesting for a couple reasons. Look at verse 19. It says, "Now there were no smiths found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords and spears." One of the reasons it's interesting is all the talk about gun regulation. You want to enslave a people, you take away their weapons. And that's during this time, Saul's fighting the Philistines, but what do they got to fight with? The Philistines took all their weapons away. And that's why when you read, Samson kills a bunch of Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. Why has he got to do that? He don't have a spear. You got to use what you can. So there's all these stories about them using different things. Just an interesting passage. But what also is interesting in that verse is notice it says throughout all the land of Israel. The land is called the land of Israel. They inherited it under Joshua. Once they inherited the land, now the land is called the land of Israel. And throughout the books of Kings, they're reigning as they're actually a kingdom. Throughout the book of Chronicles, 31 times, the land is called the land of Israel. Come over with me to Matthew chapter 2. The land of Israel is found in first in the Kings, in Chronicles, in Ezekiel, because they were taken off the land in punishment. But then you come to the book of Matthew, it's also called the land of Israel. Now, in the book of Matthew, it's interesting because in the New Testament, the people are called Israel. And then in just a few cases, the land is referred to as Israel. And you'll see that as we look at these verses. Matthew chapter 2. In verse 6, this is the prophecy. The wise men come looking for the Lord, the baby that was born. They followed his star. They've been traveling almost 2 years. And they asked where he would be. And verse 6 says, it's according to the prophet Micah, it says, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." So they refer to Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem, like the prophet said, and it's in Judah. So it's in that southern kingdom area around Jerusalem, but it's in Bethlehem, but it's called the land of Judah there. Now, in the same chapter, come over to verse 21. It says, I'll start in verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold the angel. Now remember, Joseph and Mary, they had to go down to Egypt to escape they tried to kill Jesus when he was a baby because he was going to be king of the Jews, so they fled to Egypt. But when Herod was dead, behold the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. And then they eventually had to go up into Galilee. So it's called the land of Israel there. You see that? And then it's also called Judah and Galilee. Those are kind of the biblical references to that land as you come through the Bible. Now that's the, as we're talking about the land, if we want to use biblical terms, it was promised to Abraham that once it was inherited by Joshua, it's the land of Israel. It might be broken up in Judah and Galilee, but it's still the land of Israel. Well, now here's, I'll take you into history at this point, because even the Roman government referred to the this land as Judea and Galilee, sometimes the land of the Jews. By the anyhow, there's some other references, but all up until 135 A.D., there were, you know, we always talk about 70 A.D., there was the Jews had a battle with the Romans, and the Romans, you know, conquered, destroyed the temple and so forth. Well, the Jews had a lot of revolts against the Romans. And the second revolt took place in 135 A.D., and when they lost that revolt, there was an emperor, Hadarene, and he then took and renamed the land. And he named the land Palestine as a way of rebuking the Jews who were in that land. So he actually purposely took the name of the Jews' ancient enemy, the Philistines, Latinized their name, called the land Palestine. He even renamed Jerusalem. At that time, Jerusalem was called Adalea Capitolina. And he named the city that. And so he did it as a way of rebuking the Jews. And that's how, as we end up in modern days, the land ends up being called Palestine. By the way, back the people who inherited the land, like in Roman days, and even back in Assyrian and Babylonian captivity, the people who came into that land were not Arabs. The people who came to that land were people from Assyria, people from different places where Assyria conquered and brought people in. Sometimes there were even what we would call ancient Europeans. So the point is that in Roman days, even when they started calling the land Palestine, it was occupied by people from diverse places in the world, not just Arabs. What happened is you're familiar with this. I forget the exact date in the 600s that Muhammad began to develop Islam and the Muslim crusades. You know, he started taking the tribal people of Arabia and so forth and organized them into a people, and then gave them a religion. He's supposed to have this vision and this book written that is going to guide the people. But anyhow, the Muslims start their crusades, and from that time on, from the 12th and the 13th century then, there came the times of the Crusades, where the Muslims were trying to take over the western part of the world. Now, if we had a map, they're way over here, but they're working their way here. This is the Mediterranean Sea, and ultimately, they actually conquered all the way around the Mediterranean Sea. Well past Turkey, they conquered Greece, they conquered all the Holy Land, they conquered Egypt, all the way down, even got Spain, where they took over that land, and that became what was known as the Ottoman Empire. And they ruled from 1300 to 1600, they ruled that land. And then little by little, they started losing different portions. And it started going backwards where they were losing that land. But that, you know, we talked about when we studied the Bible, the holy wars that took place between the Muslims and the Roman Catholic Church is what was taking place there. It was all a battle over what they called the Holy Land. Who's going to occupy this land? Well, the Muslims won. And they controlled that land. Interestingly, they controlled that land until World War I. In World War I, it was the Germans, the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, and what was left of the Ottoman Empire that went up against, they were actually trying to conquer Europe. And so they fought the United Kingdom, France, Russia joined them, and then eventually the United States. And it was really who was going to occupy Europe. And they lost. And when they lost, that was the absolute end of what was called the Ottoman Empire. The Turks were driven back, where now they just have that little area of Turkey. And, you know, I don't have that map up here. But they were driven back to then. The rest of the Ottoman Empire is gone. Britain owned the land. And in 1917 to 1918, when the British troops defeated the Ottoman Syrian forces, that they formed actually, what was that? It wasn't called the United Nations back then. It was called, what is it called? League of Nations, okay. They actually gave Britain, in 1920, they officially gave the British mandate for Palestine. And that is, they set up a military rule over this land. And it was under British control. And so they controlled that land. And they did call it, when they called it that, they called it Palestine. They took the name Palestine back then and put it under their control. Well, that then began, some people started moving back. But as, you know, after the Muslims invaded that land, now there's Arabs in the land. So British occupies the land, they govern the land, some Jews start coming back to the land immediately. There's a clash. There's the Zionist movements formed, and then the people of that land began to battle with them, so that was always a conflict right from the beginning. Then comes World War II, where the Arabs saw the opportunity to rid themselves of British control, to wipe out the Zionists, and the Nazis encouraged them, hey, we got a common cause here, we all hate Israel, let's annihilate the nation of Israel. So there was quite a conflict in the Middle East even during World War II, but some of that conflict gets diverted to the Panama Canal. But anyhow, so there's wars that go on there, and you know the outcome of that is that Germany loses that war. But during that time, the Jews were coming back to that land. They actually formed what was called the State of Israel's Defense Force. So they start defending their own land as well as fighting with the British and the Americans and all the rest for that land. But then that begins. 10,000 Jews were rescued from Nazis, but they were displaced. And so they came back to the land of Palestine. After the war, 250,000 Jews had no homeland, and all of a sudden, even England then began to restrict how many of them can come back to this land. There's a lot of conflict in the land. And all of a sudden, 250,000 Jews are going to come back. So they started limiting how much immigration could take place until 1946, when the United Nations, pressured by the United States, allowed 100,000 of the Jews to permission to go into the land, and then the more Jews that came into the land, the more the Arabs rebelled, and they've been fighting ever since because of that. But finally, in 1948, the United Nations declared that the British military mandate end, and there was the establishment of the State of Israel at that time. Israel became a nation, and they recognized them as a nation on Friday, May 14th, 1948, and the problem seems to be is that the United Nations declared Israel's right to exist as a nation and called them Israel, but they never declared the boundaries. So there's the fight over Jerusalem. They conquered that in 1967 when Egypt tried to come up there and fight them. And so to this day, they declare this is the nation of Israel, but we're not going to tell you what part of this land is Israel. And that's why there's battles to this day. There's no boundaries. The Palestinians today are trying to say, this is our area, and they keep trying to fight more and take more away from the Jews who are occupying the land. But anyhow, that's what the battle's all about. So if that's what the battle's all about, then what do we call that land? My first thought is, if the United Nations, forget the Bible, if the United Nations declared the nation of Israel, the Palestinians aren't declared a nation. Well, we Americans, do we live in America, or are we Americans who live in the land of the Cherokee, the Apache, the Seminoles? Well, if we're Americans, our land becomes America. If Israel is a nation, and they're the only nation in that land, isn't that land Israel? See, there's a difference between the people and the land, but once the people are declared a nation, then the land should be called the name of the people who live in the land or the people who own the land. There could be other nations and people that live in the land, but the land should be called Israel. So when you think about it, you start weighing all that. So don't forget, too, when it was first called Palestine, not in the Bible, but by the Romans, it was as an anti-Israel protest. And the people who want to call the land today Palestine is actually a way to appease the Arabs that are fighting Israel. And we step right into their language when we call it the land of Palestine, because we're not giving Israel the credit, we're giving them the credit, we're acknowledging them. And they are both, well, they just don't want just the land, they want to annihilate the nation of Israel. So they're anti-Israel, and the use of that term, there's a way you could say geographically, if, you know, even after World War I, they called it Palestine, it's not wrong to call it Palestine. But the more there's fighting and the more we know what's coming in the future, that this is going to be a major battleground between God and Satan in the second coming, would we rather join the group that wants to call it Palestine, the anti-Israel group, or would it be just politically correct and certainly biblically correct to call the land of Israel? So that ends with a question, doesn't it? It's not wrong to call it Palestine because, you know, once something is named something, you take up that name. But it's really an odd way. Declare Israel a nation, nobody else is a nation, and then call the land something else. People who want to take away Israel and not just take away their existence. And so you got to be careful about that. When we're studying the Bible, we won't call it Palestinia or Palestine. We'll call it the land of Israel, the promised land. Okay, no questions or comments before we close?
Do you know what the word Israel means?
I used to. Anybody remember what? It does mean something. I forget what it means. A friend of God or something? Yeah, it's right there where he changed Jacob's name to Israel. I probably have it written in my Bible. I think a friend of God or power with God, something like that. Chronicles.
Chronicles.
Yeah. See, when they're in the land in Kings and Chronicles, that has to do with them ruling. The land is called Israel all the time because they're the king. They rule the land.
Okay. What was the name of the person that changed the name of Israel?
The first time in 135, is that what you're asking about?
Yeah.
The emperor was called Hadrian, as I pronounce it. H-A-D-R-I-A-N.
Hadrian.
Hadrian? I like the had. Hadrian, okay.
What year was that?
135 AD. That was the second revolt of Israel, and they finally had enough of them. The second bell rang, but go ahead real quick.
Isn't Hillary Clinton heavily involved with the UN Creative Palestinian State?
Oh, yeah. I don't know where she stands on that. I'm not up on the... I know there's really a push to, yeah, let's see. They exist as a people but don't have a land yet. Go fast.
So the world or the Christians, most of the Christians believe that God has brought Israel back to the... How do you... We know he hasn't. We know he's not dealing with Israel today. How do you...
How do you explain?
I always explain that if Israel is in the land, it's only as a setting up of the end times, because they have to be... The end times tells them to leave. Well, you got to be there to leave. But they're not there because God gathered them back. The verses that say God gathers them back is the second coming. We got to close, and then I'll talk to you afterwards. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, I thank you for the interest, and certainly it's biblical times right up to modern times, but certainly it's a place that your eye is upon, and certainly a place that you'll do battle in. and restore to the nation of Israel, fulfill your promise to Abraham, to David, to the nation of Israel, the believing remnant. They'll become your nation on earth, and that will be a holy land. So, Father, we thank you that we can study these things and be able to think about our vocabulary. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.